We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's game day, Brew Crew fans, and we'll get you ready before first pitch. Coming up, today's starting lineups. We'll debate the hot topics in Milwaukee. Plus, you'll hear from the skipper. This is the Pella Windows and Doors Baseball on Deck Show. Built by Ozinga. Together, building better. 105.7 FM, The Fan.
Welcome in, Brewers fans. This is the Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin on Deck Show. Built by Ozinga. Together, building better. Anthony Mandela in here with you on what looks to be a beautiful winter day in April all across southeastern Wisconsin. If you're on the road, drive safe. If you're not on the road, I highly recommend that you keep it that way because it is horrible outside. Things hopefully a little bit better in New York as the Brewers get set for the rubber match today, Game 3 against the New York Mets at Citi Field. And it's Jackie Robinson Day across Major League Baseball as well. As noted, it is the rubber match today. They have split the series thus far, a 5-1 loss on Friday, and a 6-5 loss on Friday, a 5-1 win yesterday in New York, and things looking good for the Brewers yesterday. Chase Anderson started that one for the Crew. Fast forward then to the top of the second. Travis Shaw doubled to start the inning, followed by a walk. Domingo Santana drawing the walk off of Mets starter Matt Harvey, and follow that up with a strikeout to Eric Sogard, and that set the stage for Jonathan Villar.
500. Villar shoots one down the line and left, and that is slicing, and it's a fair ball, and it is gone. Jonathan Villar goes opposite field down the left field line, and it's 3-0 Milwaukee.
Villar's first home run of the campaign on the second pitch he saw in that at bat gave the Crew a 3-0 lead. Then in the top of the fourth, Villar grounded out to start the inning, but that then brought Jet Bandy to the plate.
Bandy, it's just in the air to left field, and he hit it a ton. And Jet Bandy is homer for the Brew Crew. First of the year for Bandy, and it's a 4-0 lead for Milwaukee.
There you have it. The Bandy man's first long ball of the year as well gave his team some breathing room. Then in the bottom of the sixth, Yoenis Cespedes got the Mets on the board, an RBI single. Plated Michael Conforto on an otherwise unblemished performance from Chase Anderson. Anderson would then finish out that sixth inning, get a fly out to start the seventh. But his day would be done after that. 6 1/3, one earned, coming on 2 hits and 2 walks, while striking out 5 was Anderson. Then, top of the ninth, the Crew already with the lead in hand. Orlando Arcia joining in with his first long ball of the season.
Maybe not anymore, as he lifts a fly ball deep to left field, and that's out of here.
And that would cap the scoring for the Crew. The highlights today, courtesy of Fox Sports Wisconsin. It was a 5-1 win for the Brewers that snapped the Mets' winning streak at 9 games. Chase Anderson the win, his first of the season. Matt Harvey taking the loss for the Mets. The Brewer bullpen sharp as could be expected. Jeremy Jeffress, 2/3 of an inning, got the hold. And then Josh Hader on the 2-inning save, the first in his young career, did not allow a base runner and struck out 5 of the 6 batters that he faced. Speaking of those batters, let's get today's starting lineups.
You're listening to the Pella Windows and Doors On Deck Show, built by Ozinga on The Fan. Who's leading off? Who's batting cleanup? Here's today's look around the diamond with the Waukesha Sports Cards starting lineup. Do you have an upcoming charity event or fundraiser? Waukesha Sports Cards has a great selection of authentic autographed sports memorabilia. Call them at 262-544-0959.
You heard it right there. Today's starting lineup's brought to you by Waukesha Sports Cards. We'll get things going with the home team today. The New York Mets coming in at 11-2, managed by Mickey Callaway. Leading off for them, right fielder Brandon Nimmo. Batting second and playing center field, Michael Conforto. Yoenis Cespedes bats third and will play left field. Todd Frazier, the former Cincinnati Red, will bat fourth and play third base. Wilmer Flores takes care of the duties at first base and will bat fifth. Ahmed Rosario, the shortstop, will bat sixth. The veteran Jose Reyes is batting seventh and will play second base. Tomas Nido, the catcher, batting eighth for the Mets and on the mound and batting ninth today. Noah Syndergaard, this season Syndergaard 2-0 in his three starts with a 3.94 earned run average in his career versus Milwaukee. It's even better if you're Noah Syndergaard. 2-0 in two starts with an 0.69 ERA against the crew with 16 strikeouts compared to just one walk. And for your Milwaukee Brewers, they come into today at 8-7, managed by Craig Counsell. Leading off today, Jonathan Villar, who had the home run yesterday. He will play second base. Eric Thames back in the starting lineup playing first. He'll bat second. Lorenzo Cain is in center field and will bat third with Ryan Braun out of the lineup today. The third baseman, Travis Shaw, will bat fourth. Domingo Santana playing right field will bat fifth. Batting sixth, the left fielder, Hernan Perez. Shortstop Orlando Arcia will bat seventh. The backstop, Jet Bandy, back in there for his second consecutive start, will bat eighth. And Yolish Chacin will bat ninth and take care of things on the mound. This season, Chacin has not been sharp. 0-1 in three outings this season, a 6.59 ERA for him. And in his career at Citi Field, even worse, 1-3 in four starts with an 8.38 ERA. There's plenty of to have been said thus far about this Milwaukee Brewers team, particularly the starting pitching. You saw a great performance yesterday from Anderson, hoping to get a similar performance today from Yolish Chacin. And one guy who always has something to say is the manager, Craig Counsell. Here's what he had to say after last night's win.
What's Craig Counsell have planned for today's game? Let's find out with today's Scoop from the Skipper. This is the Pella Windows and Doors on Deck Show, built by Ozinga on 105.7 FM, The Fan.
I think this was an excellent performance. Certainly, we got a couple contributors from it today. And Chase was outstanding. I mean, he was pitched a beautiful game. He was on top of it, for the entire game. And then Josh's performance at the end was as dominant as you'll see.
You've been pretty even this year, starters innings and relievers innings. And Chase has been kind of the exception. How important has his ability to sort of eat innings in a lot of his games been so far?
Yeah, I mean the more important is he's just not giving up any runs. I think that's the key. But I think, getting into the seventh inning is important. Yeah, I mean it sets us up really well with fresh guys down there. You're using less guys. Those guys down there have done a heck of a job. But you want to be able to think about the next day and the next day. Chase was excellent today. He had 85 pitches. He probably had some pitches left in him. I thought the matchup with JJ was and Frazier was important and excellent for us. He squeaked the ball through, but he had another righty coming up and got the double play. So it was a good performance for all three of those guys for sure on the mound.
Is that a tough call, Craig, to consider the pitch count and then whether you want him to finish?
Yeah, I mean, I think the point is that we were far enough in the game where I thought, you're kind of going backwards and you got Josh and Matt still available. And we had a lot of guys available. Taylor was still available with Jacob. And I thought it was a really good matchup for JJ that could, get us through the seventh.
Left field was the place to hit the ball tonight, wasn't it?
Well, yeah, I mean, I was shocked by Johnny's home run. I think we kind of all were in the dugout. It was a hard hit ball. It just felt like a foul ball off the bat for me. I'm not sure what it looked like from the rest of the seats or whatever, but that's what it looked like for me. He hit it hard, definitely hit it hard. Eric absolutely smoked the ball. So maybe we got a three-run homer, on the board, but we got one taken away from us, I felt like.
Was the wind like swirling up there?
I mean, it's hard to say because it should have pushed VR's home run foul.
Yeah.
So that was a little confusing for us, but I'm not sure. I mean, I know Eric's homer got knocked down, or Eric hit got knocked down. I don't know what happened on VR's ball. I'm not sure.
Any injuries on Vaughn? Was it more precautionary with him?
His back was kind of bugging him before the game today. It just tightened up a little bit around the bases, and so just precautionary, really.
Is tomorrow going to be probably a day for him?
We'll see. We'll see. It's a possibility. I'd wait till tomorrow morning to figure that out.
There it is, the interview there, courtesy of Fox Sports Wisconsin, the scoop from the skipper there, Brewers manager Craig Counsell. Still plenty to come today. We'll go inside the clubhouse, get you some field and game conditions in case you're worrying if it's this nasty out in Queens, tell you who's hot, who's not. But up next, it's going to be the roundtable. Rami Makhlouf and Tim Allen joining us next. This is Anthony Mandela, and you're listening to the Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin On Deck show built by Ozinga. Together, building better.
It's time to debate the big issues surrounding the crew. Get ready for the roundtable, sponsored by McCormick Law Office, the back injury attorneys. This is the Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin On Deck show, built by Ozinga on 105.7 FM, The Fan.
Just under an hour away from first pitch in Queens, Anthony Mandela here, getting you set on the Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin On Deck show, built by Ozinga, together building better. Time now for the McCormick Law Office Roundtable joining us today. You hear this guy weekdays 2 to 6 on the award-winning Wendy's Big Show, also on this very On Deck show, just about every weekday. He is Rami Makhlouf. You can find him on Twitter at Rami is tweeting. Rami, what's happening today?
Just about done with my first cup of coffee and debating if I'm actually going to shovel today, Anthony Mandela. I decided I wasn't shoveling anymore this year, and Mother Nature is testing me and seeing just how far I'll go.
They absolutely are, and it sounds like you should definitely, if you're going to be shoveling, hit a second, maybe third cup of coffee.
Yeah, I know. I'm sounding rough. I apologize.
No,
I'll rally. Don't worry, I'll rally.
You'll rally? Nice rally. Ninth inning rally for us here from Rami Makhlouf. Also joining us, you can hear him after just about every Brewer game on the Blaine's Farm and Fleet Baseball postgame show presented by the Milwaukee Admirals. He is the franchise, Tim Allen. Tim, what's happening?
Merry Christmas, boys.
Yeah, it sure is a Merry Christmas out there. I have not seen it snow. I'm looking out the window in the studio right now. I don't know that I've ever worked on a day that it's coming down the way it is right now, let alone in April.
It's snow, I'm angry, so that would be snangry. Or it's sleet and rainy, that would be snainy. There's all sorts of things going on here. But, hopefully the Brewers, I shouldn't say that. Think about this, guys, on this Game 3 here. It's up against Syndergaard. You have no Yelich. You don't have Braun in that lineup. And not that I'm backing down in terms of mentality to this Met team, but it wouldn't be such a bad thing to have this thing washed out today, reset, and let's make this thing up when the Brewers are at full strength.
Can't argue with.
I agree, 100%. Yeah, that would be ideal for the Brewers if this game wasn't played today.
And I guess a question then to start out, because you brought it up there a little bit. Brewers fans across, well, wherever there are Brewers fans, probably not the happiest that Ryan Braun has scheduled off days all the time. But when it's to keep in mind that you'll hopefully be able to keep him healthy, that, you know, you kind of take your lumps and you stick with it. But now what you're seeing is even with days off, he's still having a hard time staying healthy all the time. What should Brewers fans make of that?
They should be frustrated, and it is frustrating. That he's not a plug and play every day kind of guy, and that's just. And we dealt with this last year, the year before, and that's just the lay of the land for him. And again, though, Rami and I have talked about this. The key here is that it's not as heavy of a hit as it used to be for the Brewers' offense. They are so far less dependent on Ryan Braun than they have been in probably a half a decade here. So it is the main word here, guys, is frustrating.
What say you, Rami?
Yeah, I would agree with that, and that's why it made more sense to me than it did a lot of people when you go out and you get Christian Yelich and Lorenzo Cain, because even though you have Domingo Santana out there, you can't really count on Ryan Braun to play less than 120, 130 games in any given season. And Craig Counsell has talked about in the past when you have questions about who's going to play where, and it looks like you might have a logjam at a certain position – these questions tend to answer themselves, and so far they have, with Christian Yelich missing time and then Lorenzo Cain missing time, and then now Ryan Braun goes down for what, you know, you probably expected coming into this season, to miss 30 or 40 games. And this will probably be the first handful of those 30 or 40 games that he misses, and you're just about to get Christian Yelich back. Hopefully they don't have to play a game today, and all the steps is actually working out just how the Brewers, I think, planned when they went out and got those guys.
So, sorry about that. That's Baby Tausch in the background there crying.
Oh, that makes sense. You alluded to it there, Rami, a little bit, Craig Counsell's thoughts on kind of managing the 40-man roster, and one guy in particular that's been making waves as part of that 40-man roster and part of the 25-man roster is Josh Hader, and I completely understand where Craig Counsell's head is at in terms of how he wants to use Josh Hader, but given how valuable he's been to you and how great he looked in his first ever save last night, you'd have to think that the case against throwing Hader in the closer's role is getting a little tougher, no?
No, I don't think so. I think if anything, it only strengthens the case for what Craig Counsell and his staff have decided to do with Josh Hader. They want to pick which part of the lineup he's going to face and in what situations he's going to face them. Josh Hader is the best pitcher you have coming out of that bullpen. I don't disagree with that. People use that as the argument to make him the closer. I use that as the argument to use him in exactly the role that Craig Counsell is choosing to use him right now. Last night, it just so happened that in the eighth and the ninth innings, you were going to have to go through the heart of what is a very formidable New York Mets lineup. So it was the perfect spot for Josh Hader to close the game. Should that situation have arisen in the seventh and eighth innings, I would say that's the best time to use Josh Hader, because that's the toughest part of that Mets lineup that you're going to have to face in a situation where you need to shut him down to win the game. That's exactly what Josh Hader did. It just so happened to come in the eighth and ninth innings and in a save situation. Great, he got the save. But should they run into that situation in a different point in the game? I think that's the right situation for Josh Hader.
What say you, Tim?
I think catbird seat is a good term here for David Stearns and Craig Counsell with regards to Hader. The versatility that he's got right now, or the organization has right now with him, is just so open-ended, and that's never a bad thing. At some point, you're going to have to pin him down to a role, and whether that's an Andrew Miller role, whether that's a starting rotation, you know, a two or a three or a one, and some people say that he is the the ace of the future, or whether it's a closer. I mean, they've got a myriad of opportunities here for him. We were talking last night on the post game show, in large part about Chase Anderson, and most World Series teams, we can all agree on in terms of the rotation, have that 1-2 punch up top. Is Chase Anderson that 1-2 punch? And one of our listeners called in and said they've already got one of the 1-2 punches. Just disregard Chase here for a second. They already have him and Josh Hader. And this particular fan had said that, you know, Josh Hader is one of the 1-2 punch, whether he's the one or the two. You know, when you get to the playoffs and World Series, it really doesn't matter. You got to have the 1-2 punch. Is he that guy? Internally, honestly, guys, I don't know. I really don't know their plans for the future. I know short term, we can kind of see what they're going to do with Josh Hader, and that is he's going to pitch multiple innings at times. He's going to come in. He's going to go situational. He'll pitch in the sixth and seventh, seventh and eighth, eighth and ninth. He'll pitch in the ninth only and the seventh. You don't know for the future, but you know now, and they're just going to use him in the versatility role.
Yeah, absolutely, and especially in the landscape of today's game, as you mentioned, that Andrew Miller-type role, someone that can give you a couple of innings out of the pen on any given night, certainly has some value, and it was a good segue that you have into my next question for both of you here, and I'll throw this one to Rami to start things off. Chase Anderson has, a couple of times this season, given you about as much as you could hope for in the start, and then you've got a guy in Yolish Chacin who has not been well starting things off on the mound today. It could be Josh Hader, though, as you've mentioned, he's probably going to stick with his role in the bullpen. Who needs to be the next guy that steps up in this Brewers rotation so that they can really string together some performances here?
Well, Zach Davies was the guy that they were counting on going into the season to be a front end of the rotation guy along with Chase Anderson. That's why they didn't go out and sign somebody in the absence of Jimmy Nelson, because they thought they had those two guys at the top who aren't your classic, as Tim just said, 1-2 punch, but two guys who last year looked like front end of the rotation type of pitchers. And Zach Davies so far in the majority of his time out on the mound hasn't looked like that, but I don't know how surprised Brewers fans or the Brewers themselves should be by that, because he's gotten off to some slow starts for the last few seasons. So that was sort of the gamble that you were taking, that you would be able to withstand the loss of Jimmy Nelson for the first half of the season because you had those two guys. But for that plan to work out, Zach Davies is going to have to figure out his early season struggles. So far, that hasn't worked out. Outside of Chase Anderson, there's nobody else in that rotation that you could look to and say, yeah, we know we're going to get a certain level of performance out of him. That was the gamble that the Brewers took coming into the season. And so far, they do have a winning record, but in a lot of ways, that's despite their starting pitching. So I would say that gamble hasn't necessarily paid off. It looks okay in the win-loss column, but as far as the production that you've gotten from your starting rotation, that gamble has not paid off for the Brewers so far.
0-2, 6.75 ERA through his three starts. That's Zach Davies. Chacin, that's well documented that, you know, he's stumbling out of the chute. Here's a guy that's 13-10 last year, a sub-4, 3.89 ERA. He's got to step up. And you know who I think it is? I think it's Junior Guerra. Unfortunately, however, he's got that tag on him. He's got the option on him. And it seems to me in the starting rotation, the lower end, the Brandon Woodruffs and the Brent Suters and the Junior Guerras and who the hell else knows is going to be down there. Seems to me it's a little bit on the messy side in one regard. On the other side, it looks as if they're trying to find that guy that steps up. And, you know, Counts has always said that, you know, so the players are going to make those decisions by their performances on the field. But I say it's Junior Guerra, and he pitched well in his first time. And instead of just saying, well, we have flexibility, and because of options and because of, you know, injuries and Yelich and rosters and all this, it's just so convoluted, guys. Give the guy the ball every five days. Give the guy the ball, much like you're doing to Jonathan Villar. Villar is getting off to a decent start here. What's he batting? Just under 300 here. Why wouldn't you provide that opportunity for Junior Guerra and stop the messiness down there in that 4 or 5 hole? Anthony, it's a great question, because, and I don't really have the exact answer, but somebody has to step up. If this team is going to hang in there and wait for Jimmy Nelson or wait for a trade in July, one of those guys needs to step up and stop this stuff of 4 2/3 and turning things over to a bullpen that sooner or later, regardless of strength and numbers, is going to come back to bite you in June. So someone's got to step up, and I think Junior Guerra is the answer to that question.
Tim, when we were down in spring training, we were talking about how this rotation was going to shape up, and at the time, everybody was talking about Brandon Woodruff's options because we hadn't learned yet that somehow, some way, Junior Guerra got this extra option through his journeys through Italy and everything else that went on. And I was saying at the time, if Brandon Woodruff is one of your best 5 starting pitchers, I don't care what options he has left. He has to be in your starting rotation, because when you went out and got Kane and Yelich, you went out and said, we're trying to win baseball games right now. As a matter of fact, at the On Deck event, Mark Antanasio said when they made those moves, they decided winning in 2018 was as important as winning in 2020. It's not about the future anymore. And if that's the case, you're trying to win baseball games. You can't worry about options and contractual situations. You got to think about who you can put out there every fifth day that gives you the best chance to win. And by making roster moves and deciding who's going to pitch on a given day based on options, you're giving mixed messages. Are you trying to win now, or are you worried about the future and who you're going to have under contractual control for a certain amount of time? I'm getting mixed messages as to what exactly is the Brewers' goal here. I don't know about you.
It's just weird. What did Brandon Woodruff do? I mean, yeah, it wasn't a great performance in his last start, but I mean, he gave up 2 runs. He didn't give up 12 runs. He gave up 2 runs and ran that pitch count through the ceiling. You know, at 96 pitches, I believe it was. But, I mean, that guy's got the talent, and maybe that's the lightning in a bottle that steps up. again, to come full circle to Anthony's question, maybe it is Brandon Woodruff. Brent Suter, you know one thing when Brent Suter goes out there, don't you? He ain't going eight. It'll be quick. However long he goes, it'll be 3 2/3 or 4 2/3 or 5 1/3. It's going to be quick. But that third time through the order, if you know that with Brent Suter going into that ball game, and you know that at least once every 5 games you're going to have to lean on the bullpen to pitch more innings in that game than the starter in Brent Suter, then maybe you're not making the proper decision. To me, starting pitchers should have the goal of going at least 7 innings every single time they touch the baseball, or at least get into the 7th like last night. And I would have left Chase in there to finish that 7th inning. 6 1/3, he gives up 2 hits and a run, and they have a quick hook on him at 84 pitches. I mean, if this is other managers' philosophies, I think he's in there to throw 107, 109 pitches, get through the 7th, and maybe even the out into the 8th. So there's some moving parts here, and again, bottom line, it seems a little messy at the 4 and 5 hole of this rotation.
Yeah, and pitchers, we've seen throughout, as long as there have been pitchers, pitchers have been creatures of habit, and certainly that turmoil, the going up and down, new guys taking on new roles every other game, cannot do well for most, if not all, of the guys that are part of that pitching staff, right?
No, that's true, and a lot of these players want to know their roles, and if you sit a player down and specifically say, all right, here's your role, that we're not going to lean on you for 7. We need 5 out of you. Okay, fine. At least you're describing that. And they know what to do showing up at the ballpark. I think there's some uncertainty a lot of times in all of pro sports when these players don't exactly know what's expected of them. And I think the communication is fairly decent with the Brewers, I would say, all told. But sometimes, you know, the expectations need to be set forth by the manager and these starting pitchers. And then no knock on Derek Johnson. I mean, he's doing what he can do, the pitching coach for the crew. But, you know, instead of having a quick hook, I mean, go get this finished. I, the Tiger, man, have the winning mentality, man. I want to be an all-star. I want to complete this game. I want to go deep, et cetera, et cetera. And, I'm not sure of the mentality part of things. I know it's a connected team. But the driving force, the hammer punch, is it in this team? We're going to figure that out this year for sure.
There you have it. And, Tim, thanks for your time. And tonight, Brewers fans will find some way, shape, or form, they can find some baseball post-game coverage on Facebook Live after the last pitch tonight. Is that correct?
I'm charging up my walkie-talkies right now.
Some way, shape, or form, Brewers fans, you'll get your fix after the last pitch tonight. Tim,
TB Radio, yeah.
Tim, thanks again.
Okay, take it easy.
Take it easy. And Rami Makhlouf, one final question I actually had for you, hoping to squeeze in here. Because I know Tim's philosophy on this. I've heard it time and time again working with him for the past 2-3 seasons. All 10 of the Brewers' runs in this series so far have come via the long ball. They've struck out 135 times in 583 plate appearances as a team, which means they're not even putting the ball in play roughly one of every 4 times up. You got to love the power, but that's not exactly a consistent method of winning baseball games down the stretch when you can't manufacture runs in any other way, right?
It's not, and this is really becoming Major League Baseball to a large degree, Anthony. This isn't unique to the Milwaukee Brewers. The idea of, I love all the new catchphrases that have been in baseball for the last few years, and one of them is the predetermined outcome, and that means a ball that is either out of the park, a walk, or a strikeout. That's more than half of Major League Baseball right now. A lot of people think that's what's behind the drop in Major League Baseball's ratings, because not only is it already a slow-moving game, but now the ball is hardly ever put into play, and you're not seeing fielders field the baseball as much as you used to see it. It's just the way that the game is going right now with exit velocity and launch angle and all the other things that hitters like to talk about in today's game. It's concerning if you're the Brewers, because part of the reason that you went out and made the moves that you made this year in getting Yelich and Kane was because you wanted more guys with, here comes another new baseball catchphrase, bat-to-ball ability, guys who were going to put the ball in play, and it wasn't a strikeout, a walk, or a home run every time that they went up there. But at the same time, you can say that we haven't necessarily seen this Brewers lineup play, at least the Brewers lineup that they envisioned, play together on a consistent basis day in and day out because of the injuries to Yelich and then Kane and now Braun. So let's see those guys who do have that ability to put the ball in play and be good on-base percentage guys, as well as guys who can put the ball out of the ballpark, but guys who can keep the lineup moving. Let's see when they get them in the lineup on a consistent basis, on a day-in, day-out basis, if they ever get healthy and if that ever happens. And then let's see if we can say this is the same old Brewers offense. I think it's too early to say that in the season in general, and especially too early when you look at the injuries that they've had to those guys who they were looking for to change the complexion of this lineup.
Absolutely. And it's never too early to go to Fan on Demand or tune in weekdays 2 to 6 and listen to you and a fine cast of characters on the Wendy's Big Show. Isn't that right?
Yes. And as we were speaking, I made that second cup of coffee you advised me to make. I also took the dog out in the backyard to do his business. And I'm not shoveling that crap, Anthony Mandela. An update on the opening of my call. I'm having more coffee, and I'm not shoveling snow. It's just not happening.
Fair enough. I can get behind that. Rami, thanks for your time.
All right, man. I'll talk to you later.
There he is, Rami Maclock. If you can find him on Twitter, @RamiIsTweeting. He and Tim Allen joined us today on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. If you're looking for a simple and convenient pre-approval process for your new home, construction, or renovation loan, call Great Midwest Bank. Committed to providing uniquely tailored, common-sense mortgage products since 1935. We'll hit a quick break here. When we come back, we'll go inside the clubhouse, get you the field and game conditions, and a little bit of who's hot, who's not as well. I'm Anthony Mandela. You're listening to the Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin On Deck Show, built by Ozinga. Together, building better.
Now, here's the behind-the-scenes info as we take you inside the clubhouse. Brought to you by Coach's Pub and Grill on South 13th Street. Good food, good drinks, good people, and great fun. This is the Pella Windows and Doors On Deck Show, built by Ozinga on 105.7 FM, The Fan.
Just under a half hour away from first pitch at Citi Field, I am Anthony Mandela, and this is the Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin On Deck Show, built by Ozinga. Together, building better. You just heard on the other side of the break, Tim Allen joined us on the roundtable Friday afternoon. He joined Bill Michaels on the Bill Michaels Show, the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network, to preview this series. And you might not be surprised, because we do call him the franchise here, but Tim, with some wise words to say, some of which have actually come to fruition over the course of this series, here's what he had to say.
Tim Allen, host of the Baseball Postgame Show on 105.7 FM, The Fan, now joining us on the Schneider Orange Hotline. Good morning, Tim. How you doing?
What's happening, Bill?
Well, I don't know what to make of this team after the first, say, 10 games against the Central and against good teams. And I'm watching Chicago yesterday get their brains beat in. And I don't know what to make of this team, but I know that the starting pitching has been a little bit better as of late. And now you just got to wait and see when you get healthy and get everybody back and the offense starts flowing again.
Yeah, I would agree with a lot of that. This series here, this is an interesting series. You talk about pitching. This is all on their starters in this series. Mets are a team that, in looking at their situation thus far, they can come back too. They have six come-from-behind victories. And the Brewers, obviously we know that they push the pedal offensively a little bit late this year, so that's going to be a good matchup. Both have decent bullpens, good matchup. Then you look at the Mets starters, those five. Those are tough. Everyone talks about the Cubs, five deep. Let's take a close look at, they finally got those five young arms together in New York, Syndergaard and Harvey, DeGrom, Wheeler and Matz.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, those guys are tough. So it's going to be about the Brewers starters. Can they hold it mid-game and allow both these offenses? I could see a big chess match over the weekend. A lot of bullpen moves late and just strategy.
The use of the bullpen, I mean, everybody gets criticized for that. Craig Counsell's been criticized for that. You just watch Twitter blow up on almost a nightly basis, and in some way, shape, or form, some other manager out there sitting there with a beer in their hand has an argument. Give me your thoughts about how you think Craig Counsell has done so far this season.
That's the one thing, Bill, and you've talked about it too, and we all know that that's probably the one part of the game that managers get scrutinized most for, our bullpen moves. And we can argue that it's a great move or it's a bad move, and hindsight's 20/20. Let's face it. But he's got to make these calls on a nightly basis, and they're not all going to be right. I mean, just know that going in that, you know, maybe if you had to do it again, maybe you would have stuck it out with Guerra for another couple of outs, or stuck it out with, you know, Josh Hader, another, you know, one more frame or something like that. I think he's done a decent job. I think he's trying to win every game. Now, is that going to come back to haunt him later on in the season? That remains to be seen. But this dude is trying to win today's ball game, and you have to appreciate that.
The offense been a little bit stymied on and off without Yelich in the lineup. I mean, you talk about the ability to put the ball in play consistently, and they've struggled at times. You know, what's so amazing, Tim, is they're averaging a little over, at one point, 3.3 runs per game, and they've got three shutouts to their name already. But yet, if they go to, say, four and a half runs per game, I think 4.3 is the magic number, this team seemingly can win a lot of games. You know, I'm still baffled at times how this team doesn't do the fundamental things at the plate to be able to score a few more runs.
Well, they're going to. I mean, they are. This offense isn't going to average a little over three runs a game for long. That's just not going to happen. They're going to, maybe they'll warm up as the weather warms up. I mean, it's just too much information to go on that says that this team will be, you know, lower third in baseball offensively. I just don't see that happening. And yet, despite that, they're still kicking and scratching for wins.
What do you think right now of, because Ryan Braun has been, you know, called into duty because obviously Yelich has gone down. What do you think of the start to his season?
It's tough. But you have to give him more than, you know, what we've seen so far. I mean, could we see the tail end of, you know, Braun's high-level production? Maybe. But that still means that he is a productive player, and he will be. And you just got to keep running him out there. I mean, he's hit into a couple of hard outs, so I'll give him that a little bit. That would improve those numbers a touch, but you got to stay with him. And the magic mark would be a couple of months, I would think, before you even start thinking about taking him out of that mix.
To the other side of the coin, Thames has been, again, an April guy. I mean, granted, it's 263 and such, but on the opposite side of the spectrum, the power is there. And what he's putting up in the month of April last year to this year has been phenomenal. So, I mean, ride that horse until you can't ride that horse anymore.
You're right on. You got to ride him. I mean, that's trying to win today's ball game. You go with the hot hand. Now, how quickly, you know, Sogard has a 3-for-4 day, and then immediately he's into the starting lineup leading off. I mean, maybe that's a little bit, you know, too, you know, impatient with, or whichever way you want to look at it, getting him right in there. But Thames, you got to ride that guy right now. He's a game changer. Any one swing of the bat, man. And here's what's missing. I mean, you got to get some runners aboard for these guys. Just get on base. Come on, guys, get on base, because they're getting the homers. They're all solo shots, though, Bill.
Well, as long as you're hitting the ball, though. I mean, that's the big thing, because we know Eric Thames can go cold. I'd rather him just, you know, hitting solo shots and not hitting at all.
Well, that's true. That's true. Yeah. And then taking his walk.
It's a run, Tim. You're the one that says value every damn run, dude.
No, and Council said that last year and the year before, that what are you going to get on me for us hitting homers? I mean, that's a tough way to look at it, but those big innings is what he referred to just a few days ago, and he said, well, you know, the 3- and 4-run innings are missing, and those are coming. They are.
So when you look at the catching situation, Pena's been good, Banny's been good. We always talk about that battery. They're very quiet, because the only time you talk about catching is when they stink. But what have you been impressed with? Because really, those are the captains that started up the middle. We all know up the middle is where your most vital pieces are when it comes to Major League Baseball.
It's just a shame Manny Pena wasn't younger, isn't it? I mean,
right.
think about that. His style is like, and I'm not saying he's as good as these guys, but Contreras and Molina. I mean, he's got that kind of swagger to him behind the plate. He really does, defensively, as well as with the bat. It's just too bad he wasn't 26 years old or something.
Right.
They'd be in great shape there, but that's a position of concern, big picture. I mean, where is the catcher going to be in 2-3 years? So they're going to have to remedy that at some point. But Stephen Vogt's going to be activated when he's available, and he will be in there over Bandy.
How concerned are you about Hernan Perez, the offensive output, Ryan Braun, Orlando Arcia, Pena? These guys were all up above 250, 260, right around 270 last year. It's not happening right now. Granted, it's a small sample size, but they're off to very slow starts.
They are, and that's why they're 7-6. I mean, they come out of the chute hot offensively in San Diego, and you see what happens. I mean, they were like a freight train out there at the top of the order. And so they're going to have to get it together. And they will. I mean, averages tend to be just that, an average. So if you're scoring low runs now, you'll make it up with a big barrage. And I don't know if I can say that that's going to happen this weekend because of what we discussed with that rotation for the Mets, but it's coming. It will. That is what I'm patient with a little bit more than anything on this team is that offense.
Will today's weather affect the game? Let's get today's field and game conditions. This is the Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin On Deck Show, built by Ozinga on 105.7 FM, The Fan.
First pitch 20 minutes away at Citi Field in Queens, and if you looked out the window today, you know it's not baseball weather here, and unfortunately, it's not a whole lot better over in New York. Cloudy skies, a chance of rain in the forecast, but barring extra innings, hopefully should be of no concern to these two teams unless that front rolls in early. And 32 degrees on the nose when considering wind coming at first pitch up in a few minutes here at 12:10 from Noah Syndergaard. We'll take a quick break. On the other side, go inside the injury report, tell you who's hot, who's not. I'm Anthony Mandela, and you're listening to the Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin On Deck Show, built by Ozinga. Together, building better.
Baseball is 90% mental and the other half is physical. So who's injured on the crew? Here's today's injury report on the Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin On Deck Show, built by Ozinga on 105.7 FM, The Fan.
It is the Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin On Deck Show, built by Ozinga. Together, building better. Minutes away from first pitch at Citi Field, Game 3, the rubber match between the Brewers and Mets. Anthony Mandela here, closing things out with you today. A look at the injury report right now. Ryan Braun out of today's lineup with the back tightness that led to an early exit in yesterday's contest for him. Also, with some updates, Boone Logan, he's been on the DL all month but is scheduled to throw a bullpen session today, eyeing an early May return. Christian Yelich back swinging the bat. He took 70 swings in the batting cage yesterday. Steven Vogt and Jimmy Nelson both throwing again as part of their shoulder rehabs, but no updates on a return for them. And Manny Pena still day-to-day when he did run the bases yesterday as he tries to work out the calf tightness that has had him watching from the dugout since April 10th. If you're hurt, it's hard to be hot, but it's also hard not to be. Let's take a look at who's hot and who's not.
Some of the Brewers are hot, while some are not. This is Who's Hot, Who's Not on the Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin On Deck Show, built by Ozinga.
One guy who is definitely hot right now, Jonathan Villar. 5 hits in his last 16 at-bats. That includes his first home run of the campaign last night. In his last 7, he's driven in 4. That's tied for the team lead during that span. Also hot in some limited plate appearances, Jett Bandy, his OPS of 1.021, is tops among position players on the team over the last 7 games. And 2 of his 3 hits in that span have gone for extra bases, including his first home run of the season yesterday as well. Also, Jacob Barnes has not allowed a run, earned or otherwise, in his last 3 times out of the pen, and he's given up just 1 hit and 2 walks, compared to 5 punchouts, is the Brewer reliever. Not hot, Ryan Braun, he's still hitting well below the Mendoza line. 184 on the season with 13 strikeouts, and that tells just part of his tale. A 226 on-base percentage is dead last on the team among guys with at least 30 at-bats. Just to wrap things up here, we'll give you another review of the starting lineups in today's game for the Mets. It's Nimmo, Conforto, Cespedes, Frazier, Flores, Rosario, Reyes, Nito, and the pitcher Syndergaard. And for your Milwaukee Brewers, VR, Thames, Kane, Shaw, Santana, Perez, Arcia, Bandy, and Yolis Chacin getting things going on the mound. I'm Anthony Mandela. You've been listening to the Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin On Deck Show, built by Ozinga. Together, building better. Enjoy the game, Milwaukee. Take it easy.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours.
and great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.